Hey everyone, welcome back. You know you're busy and you probably don't have a ton of time to research all the best ways to do everything.
Right.
So we're here to help. Today we're taking a deep dive into a really cool Montessori book guide for kids under six.
It's packed with insights.
And I have to admit, I was surprised by some of the stuff in here.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like I always thought picking books for little kids was mostly about finding ones with, cute pictures.
Sure.
But this guide digs way deeper. It's about using books to support a child's development.
Yeah.
The whole Montessori philosophy. Yeah.
Exactly. And it really emphasizes like the importance of the process of reading aloud, not just picking the right book.
Okay, so let's get into it. One of the first things that jumped out at me was this idea of sticking with realistic or nonfiction books for those really little guys. And I get that toddlers are still wrapping their heads around how the world works, but is a little fantasy really going to hurt?
Well, it's all about laying a solid foundation, right? Like in Montessori, they always start with concrete experiences before moving to the abstract. So kids need to understand the real world before we toss in magical creatures and stuff.
So no unicorns until like age six.
Well, I wouldn't put it quite like that.
Okay.
But the guide uses this great example comparing a red-eyed tree frog to a fairy.
Oh yeah, I remember that.
Like a red-eyed tree frog is a pretty weird-looking creature,
Sure.
right? But it's real. And kids can learn about its habitat, what it eats, all that stuff.
Right.
But a fairy, that's a totally made-up concept. And for a little kid who's just starting to figure out what's real and what's not,
It could be confusing.
exactly. So it's about presenting them with things they can observe and experience in their own lives.
Okay, I'm with you there. But what about imagination? Like, don't we want to encourage kids to be creative and think outside the box?
Absolutely. Imagination is super important. But we can nurture that in other ways.
Like how?
Through play,
Yeah.
for sure, storytelling too, and even open-ended questions about real things. Like instead of just saying, "Look, a frog," you could say, "Where do you think this frog lives?" Or, "What do you think it eats?"
Oh, I see.
You're still engaging their imagination, but grounding it in reality.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
And it reminds me of this other part of the guide that really stood out to me, the emphasis on using rich language.
Oh, yeah.
It's so easy to fall into baby talk with little kids.
No, I do it all the time.
Me too. But this guide suggests that even small changes to our vocabulary can have a huge impact.
And it's not about, using big words that kids won't understand.
Right.
It's more about being descriptive and giving them more to work with.
Like instead of just saying car.
You could say, "Look at that shiny red sports car."
I get it. You're giving them all these extra details.
Exactly. And those details help them build their own vocabulary and understand the nuances of language.
I love that example from the guide about the sun. Instead of
No.
saying the sun is bright,
It said the sun shone with a golden glow.
it's almost poetic.
Right. And it exposes kids to this beautiful language and helps them develop a deeper appreciation for the world around them.
Okay, so we've talked about realism and rich language.
Yeah.
What else? Oh, this guide also emphasizes the importance of aesthetics.
Yes.
And I don't just mean, cute illustrations, but the overall design and quality of the book.
Right.
So why is that so important in the Montessori approach?
Well, think about a Montessori classroom.
Okay.
Everything is carefully chosen to be both beautiful and functional, right? And that same principle applies to books. A well-designed book with high-quality illustrations and materials,
Yeah.
it sends the message that this is something special, something to be treasured.
It's worthy of our care.
Exactly. And that respect for the book itself is really important.
And that ties into teaching kids to respect books in general, right?
Yeah.
Like how to handle them gently and put them away properly.
Absolutely. And it's not just about keeping things tidy. It's about developing fine motor skills, a sense of responsibility, and an appreciation for craftsmanship.
The guide suggests having a dedicated child height bookshelf, which I love.
Me too.
It makes kids feel like they have ownership over their books.
And it gives them the freedom to choose what they want to read.
Okay, so last but not least, how do we keep from losing our minds reading the same book over and over and over again?
Ugh, I know that feeling.
I have some books memorized at this point.
Me too. But the guide's advice on this is so simple and yet so brilliant.
What is it?
Choose books you enjoy.
Oh, that's so true.
Your enthusiasm is contagious. If you're genuinely engaged, your child will be too. And it makes those repeat readings a lot more bearable.
So for our listener who's out there juggling all the things and just wants to make story time count, what's the biggest takeaway from this guide?
It's not about finding the perfect Montessori book.
Right.
It's about using every book as an opportunity to connect with your child, engage their imagination, and expand their world.
And it's about being mindful of the process.
Exactly. Pay attention to the language you use, the questions you ask, and the way you handle the book itself.
Those small things make all the difference.
They really do.
I love that. So the next time I'm at the library, I'm going to be thinking less about the title and more about the experience we can create together.
That's great.
Thanks for taking this deep dive with me. It's been so insightful.
My pleasure. Happy reading.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.